Me, like most of you, make bills and have to come up with ways of either paying off those bills or spending less. As many people in the world, I have looked into getting a second job to help pay off some of these expenses that I've made. I've had a few people tell me that I would probably be good in sales. So I've been taking a few classes on sales, on how to be a good salesman. I've gotten a few books and listened to a few audiobooks and read some stuff online. What I noticed in most of these books was a pattern. What a salesman needs to do is to convince the buyer that what they have is not as good as what they think. He needs to explain to them, no matter how happy they think they are with their item, my item, life would be better. I know someone who did just that with God's gift to mankind. It was Satan the devil. Now, before I go on, I need to make this point and say that in no way am I equating Satan to God. God is not a salesman, but our creator and life giver. Satan is a destroyer, liar, and life taker. They are no way equal in any shape or form, and in no way am I saying that God is trying to sell us anything. He has offered us life as his sons and daughters, what you think is everything. Satan offers lies and death, but tries to convince us that his way is better. Satan is the ultimate salesman, ultimately evil and twisted. To reiterate, a salesman must show you that whatever you have already, no matter how good it is not as good as what he has to offer. The title of this message is, Have I Got a Deal for You? Right from the very beginning of the Bible, God tells Adam and Eve that he's created paradise in the Garden of Eden for them, and that everything was theirs to have and to cherish. Let's go ahead and start at the very beginning of the Bible in Genesis 1. And we're going to start Genesis 1, verse 24. And I'm reading to you from the New King James Version. Genesis 1, verse 24. Then God said, Let the earth bring forth the living creature according to its kind, cattle and creeping thing, and beasts of the earth, each according to its kind. And it was so. And God made the beasts of the earth according to its kind, cattle according to its kind, and everything that creeps on the earth according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. Verse 26. And God said, Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over the cattle, and over all the earth. Got lost there. Over every creeping thing that creeps in the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. Verse 28. Then God blessed them, and God said to them, Be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth, subdue it. Have dominion over the fish in the sea, over the birds in the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth. Verse 29. And God said, See, I have given you, Adam and Eve, every herb that yields seed for which is on the face of all the earth, and every tree whose fruit yields seed, to you it shall be for food. Also, to every beast of the earth, to every bird of the air, and everything that creeps on the earth in which there is life, I have given every green herb for food. And it was so. And God said, Everything that he has made, and indeed it was very good. So in the evening and the morning were the sixth day. So we see now in chapter 2 that the Bible goes into more detail on how Adam and Eve came to be and restates that everything on the earth was for them, save one tree, the tree of good and evil, or as I will call it, the tree of death. In chapter 3, we are introduced to the cunning and evil creature known as the serpent. Let's go to Genesis 3, verse 1. Genesis 3, verse 1. Now the serpent was more cunning than any beast in the field, which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, "Has God indeed said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden?" Here we see Satan has started his spiel to place doubt in Eve's mind. Satan basically convinced Eve that although she was quite happy and content with all that God has given her and Adam, that perhaps somehow she was being cheated. How insane is that? She had everything. Satan basically said, "Have I got a deal for you? God is holding out on you. I can offer you more, immortality, and everything else. God has tricked you, and I can help you get what you deserve." What was really happening was Satan was doing his best to destroy God's pride and joy, human beings. Satan was effectively destroying man's relationship with God, not God's relationship with man. I'd like to go back to chapter 3, verse 1, and I'll read it again. "Now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God has made. And he said to the woman, 'Has God indeed said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden?' And the woman said to the serpent, 'We may eat of the fruit of the tree of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat of it, nor shall you touch it, lest you die.'" Verse 4, "Then the serpent said to the woman, 'You will not surely die, for God knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be more like God, knowing good and evil.'" So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and the tree desirable to make one wise, she got all that from just looking at it. She took of the fruit and ate. She also gave to her husband with her, and he ate. Verse 7. "Then the eyes of both of them were open, and they knew that they were naked. They sewed fig leaves together and made themselves covering." Now here is something that I find truly sad in this chapter. Adam is not tricked. He is not fooled. He simply took of it and ate of it. Did Eve have to convince him to sin? It doesn't say, but it appears that Adam knowingly did what he was told by God not to do. In verse 17, I will paraphrase, "Because you have heeded the voice of your wife and have eaten the tree of which I commanded you, you shall not eat of it, and you will be cursed." Let's look in the next few verses. Satan's plan was to derail God's plan for mankind, so he sold us the lie through Adam and Eve, and we're all having to pay for it. Or do we? God thwarts Satan's plan to destroy God's treasure, mankind, with this verse. Verse 14 in chapter 3. "So the Lord God said to the serpent, 'Because you have done this, you are cursed more than all of the cattle, and more than every beast of the field. And on your belly you shall go, and you shall eat dust all the days of your life. And I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed.'" That's capital S in my Bible. "He," which is capital H in my Bible, "shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel." We have come to understand that the seed is referring to Jesus Christ, who redeemed humanity by his sacrifice and will ultimately rule all. Jesus disregards Satan's salesmanship efforts in Matthew 4, and why Satan tells him that if he was the Son of God, he could turn these stones into bread. We also see in verse 5, this is Matthew 4, Satan took Jesus to the holy city and put him on a pinnacle and told him to throw himself off. He says, don't worry, at the last moment the angels will swoop down and save you. Then in verse 8, he took Jesus up to a high mountain and promised Jesus the whole world and all its contents if he would just fall and worship him. Jesus knew, of course, God's plan and the law, and by taking Satan's advice would go against God's wishes. Jesus full well knew, Proverbs 14:12, there is a way that seems right to a man, but in the end is the way of death. Adam and Eve did not follow God's instructions, but followed a tricky, slimy serpent to gain the one thing they didn't have, something that they thought was being held back, something that they should have. Satan lies to us all when he shows us how fun and easy life would be if we didn't try so hard to obey those archaic, ancient, and restrictive rules like the Ten Commandments. Modern entertainment promotes, through Satan's salesman speech, drinking to excess in movies, commercials, and advertisements, when we all know that the road to alcoholism has dire consequences in which you can lose everything, including your life. God's way is moderation in alcohol, and it is a good way. Satan's salesmanship promotes promiscuity, infidelity, lying, cheating, gluttony, idolatry, and many other forms of abusing yourself and others. The tree of death gave us the knowledge of good and evil, but the evil is hardly outweighed by the good. Satan promotes the idea if we do just a little sin, it won't really hurt anything. A little lying doesn't hurt anything, right? A little illegal drugs won't do any damage, will it? Perhaps a little breaking of the Sabbath. If no one knows what we did, are we really sinning? The pathway of the tree of death never leads us back to the tree of life. I'd like to say that again. The pathway of the tree of death never leads us back to the tree of life. Only God and his way can lead us back to the tree of life. Jesus' sacrifice for you and me cannot be in vain. We cannot allow Satan's sales speech to win us over to the way of death, because, friends, we won't be coming back from that. It will be completely over. There are no do-overs, no freebies. Just the one way back to God's way is doing it God's way. So I'd like for us to all go away from here and think about this. Live as Christ did. He was and is the best example to follow. He wasn't fooled by Satan's sales pitch in Matthew 4. Don't fall victim into believing that you're being cheated out of happiness by some quick-speaking salesman by going what seems the easy way or a different way and not the tried and true way of following God's commandments. God's reward that there is in store for us is worth so much more than any worldly treasure. Romans 8:18 says, "For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us." May you not fall victim to the line, "Boy, have I got a deal for you."